in chapter 5, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding." These are very important words, "my," because there is a wisdom in the world today, but it is contrary unto God. So we want God's wisdom and God's understanding. "The reason that you may regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge." And then he makes another warning, "The lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb." He warns about the strange woman in this book of Proverbs a great deal through here, and I suppose that Solomon would have been more qualified to write about the strange woman than anybody else, as many strange women as he knew and had. And so he does give some wonderful instruction unto his son concerning the strange women, but they speak most emphatically to us of the strange religious women. And so notice, "The lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb," that is the natural sweetness there. And notice, "Her mouth is smoother than oil," that is, they're such eloquence. And they say things which are so easily to be heard, you see, and they just appeal to the natural ears. But verse 4, "Her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell." Verse 6, "Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable." And this is a description of Christendom today, and most especially the Catholic Church, because her ways have become so movable in the last few years. Why, people can even eat meat on Friday anymore, and they're not sinning. And this really shook up a lot of Catholic people. One young man said, "Last Friday I ate meat and I sinned and had to confess for it. This week I ate meat on Friday and not a thing wrong with it." He said, "It looks to me like if it's wrong at one time, it ought to be wrong all the time." But you see, her ways are movable. And then you find how that the nuns and the different ones in there are able to change their dress and things like this. Never before were they able to do that, you see. And then, of course, now there are some coming out, and some of the priests getting married and still being priests, and things of this nature. Well, her ways are very movable, that you cannot know them. That is, you can't keep up with them. And it seems like that she is really making every effort to do everything that is right. Verse 7, "Hear me now, therefore, O you children, depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house." And this corresponds to 2 Corinthians 6:17, where he says, "Wherefore come ye out from among them, touch not the unclean thing." God wants his people to be separated from those false religious systems. And so don't even come nigh the door of her house. That means don't compromise with her. Some seem to think, well, we don't have to join them, but we'll go ahead and go in there. But he says don't even go near the door, and that means don't compromise with them in any way, form, or fashion. Verse 15 gets back to some things that we are supposed to do. "Drink waters out of thine own cistern, running waters out of thine own well." That simply means don't take of the waters of philosophy or of logic or some man's reasoning. Take only the pure word of God that he has revealed unto our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. As a result of that, in verse 16, "Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of water in the streets." As you drink from your own cistern, then you become a fountain of blessing unto other people, dispersed unto them, and literally rivers of water in the streets, a blessing unto others. Verse 17, "Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee." This is equivalent to what Jesus said, "Don't cast your pearl before swine." There are some things that people just cannot understand. You cannot go out and tell some people of the revelations that you've received this year in class. They wouldn't understand them. Some things you can share with them, and those are fine. But you see, the real deeper truths and those things that come from down deep in the well, you just can't share with everyone, because they wouldn't understand them. They would tromp on them. And so let them be thine own. It must be wisdom exercised in giving out the word of God. And so a word of caution unto those of you who will be ministering the word, don't try to get up and give out everything you know in one sermon, because everyone there will know what you're trying to do, and it'll be terrible anyhow. This is something that we must learn to do, is what God makes real to us at a particular time, and give that out, you see. All right. Verse 18. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. This doesn't exactly mean to rejoice with your teenage sweetheart. The wife of thy youth means the truth, the way that you have started out. This word wife, it simply means a woman. And so what he's doing is contrasting the false woman of error and the false religious systems with the true woman of the truth and that which is of Christ. So notice, we will notice here a little bit later, let this fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Rejoice in the truth. Paul tells us whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Don't change horses in midstream. You start out with the truth. Well, for heaven's sakes, don't stop. Paul said to the Galatians, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? So continue in the same way that we started out, and that is with the grace of God. Verse 19, let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. Well, you see, this is the nourishment of the Word of God, and we should partake freely of those loving breasts continually. Be thou ravished always with her love. Bind the Word of God unto us is something that is a treasure unto us. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Why should you go anywhere else? The Word of God has everything that we need. So why go aside into false religious systems and things of this nature which don't satisfy anyway? The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his goings. Chapter 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, ruler, provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When you arise out of your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. And so now, to sum up these few words, he simply is saying, now is the time to overcome, not tomorrow, but right now. Provide her meat in the summer, as we find in verse 8, and gathers her food in the harvest. Don't sleep. Now is not a time of sleeping, as the Apostle Paul tells us over in Thessalonians, because if you do sleep, it's going to tend to poverty. And that means literally, if you sleep in class, you're going to be poverty-stricken as far as getting the truths here. Also in just the overall spiritual condition, if men sleep in this day and time, they are going to be poverty-stricken as far as spiritual things go. All right, in verse 16, these six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven. 17, they are a proud look. And notice that it goes from the top to the bottom. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, and feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. And so he just starts at the top and goes right down, things that God absolutely hates. So that proud look, of course, is the look of pride that is distinct from God and very much against God, not dependent upon him. The lying tongue, telling things which are not true, whether it be in the religious sense or not, hands that shed innocent blood, and so on. So all of this are things that God absolutely hates, a false witness that speaks lies and sows discord among brethren. That is, some people are not happy unless that they're stirring up trouble among other people. And this is indeed what God hates. Verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother. Thy father here especially speaks of the will of God, the word of God. Forsake not the law of thy mother is the law of mother grace, which is the law of love. Bind them continually upon thine heart, tie them about thy neck. Again, we have the heart telling us of the inward work. Tying them about thy neck tells us of the outward work manifest unto others. Verse 26, by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. And so, in the spiritual sense, if men continue to trust in the false religious systems, perhaps even though that they are saved, yet a man is brought to a piece of bread, or he is brought to poverty. And so people today who are building on the wood, hay, and stubble basis along with the whorish woman, that is, their works are not really gold, silver, and precious stones. They're going to be brought to naught and poverty as far as the things of the Lord. Verse 29, he that goes into his neighbor's wife, whosoever touches her, shall not be innocent. Again, this is speaking of the same thing that we've had before and also in verse 26, and that is organized Christendom. That means to be true continually unto Christ himself and not be tied up with those false religious systems. Verse 4 of chapter 7, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, call understanding thy kinswoman. That is, know them intimately. This is what that he wants us to do. And if we do, in verse 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger, which flatters with her words. If we did not have the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God today, we would wonder about many things that are being said around the world. But because of that, of course, we're able to detect truth from error. And it just takes a continual waiting on the Lord and a continual yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit to tell us that which is true and that which is false. Verse 7, he was looking out of his window here. He says, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. Now this happens, of course, when one is born again. Before he learns the scripture, he does not have understanding. He was walking through the street, and he went by the way to this woman's house. Verse 9, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. This is the first clue to error, is that it is always in the darkness. It's not out in the open at all, but always hidden. Verse 10, there met him there a woman with an attire of an harlot, subtle of heart. You read of her in the book of Revelation, that old harlot, she's compared to Babylon and so on. Verse 11, she is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. And you see her today, she's not standing still. She's out trying to get all of her daughters all roused up and everyone else that she can to go along with her. Consequently, you find the World Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches, and all of this ecumenical movement. Well, she is loud and she is stubborn. And if you want to hear some of this loudness, then you just listen to some of these protesters who have all of their religious overtones and all of their religious convictions and things of this nature that they are voicing across the world today. And her feet are not abiding in her house. She is going absolutely everywhere trying to recruit new people into her house, as it were. Now she is without, now in the street. She lies in wait at every corner. So she caught him, and many people are being caught unawares by the erroneous doctrines that are in the world today. She kissed him, and they have such a show of love. And this is what we hear so often today. Well, how about the brotherhood? We've got to show a little love around here. It's been so long since I've had any real love in these churches and things of this nature. Well, Paul says, let love be without dissimulation, that is, without pretense. But what they're showing is not real love. It's just a mamby-pamby foolishness. And so she caught him and she kissed him. Now, the things that they're doing for people today, and I've heard of churches doing this, well, if there's people that are out and don't have anything, well, you just join the church and they'll take care of you. And they do. They have the wherewith to do it. All of the money, all of the funds, and they take care of even whole families like this that will be a part of their church and so on. And so they are kissing them indeed. And with an impudent face, she said, verse 14, I have peace offerings with me this day. Have I paid my vows? So you see, we have a basis for this. We are going to get everything all in order. So I've offered my offerings. I've made all of my sacrifices. Therefore, I came to meet you and diligently to seek your face, and I found you. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. But notice the fine linen is not of God. It's not from heaven. It is rather out of Egypt. It tells us of the righteousness of this world, which is so manifest. And this is what people go on, is the righteousness and how upstanding they are here. Verse 17, I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Myrrh in Scripture especially speaks of the suffering. But this is not real suffering with Christ. This is self-inflicted suffering and self-crucifixionist and people who would be so very hard and abusing their own bodies and things of this nature. I heard a few years ago a man was reading a book to us about the preparation of the Catholic priest and such goings-on you never heard in your life. Every Wednesday they got out there and and stripped to the waist and then just beat the living tar out of each other with whips, and that was supposed to purge them. Well, you see, this is the myrrh, and they abuse their bodies, and they think that this is what really prepares them and really sets them apart from everybody else. But such fleshly goings-on is not worth two hoots. It's blasphemy as far as God is concerned. But anyway, I've perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. Let's really get together here and have a love in. Well, in verse 19, the good man of the house is not home. He is gone a long journey. And the good man of the house is Christ himself. He is not here at this particular time. And so we'll just make haste while the sun shines, or while the cat's away, the mice will play, or whichever way you want to say it. But he's taken a bag of money, and he will come at a day appointed. With her much fair speech, and there is much fair speech in the world today along religious lines, what they are doing. She caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him, and he goes after her. Straightway as an ox goes to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird haste to the snare. So there is nothing but destruction waiting for him. Well, in verse 25, let not your heart decline to her ways. We read before of incline your ear. This is a decline, and people who go the way of error, they always decline or go far less than what God intends. She has cast down many wounded, and the Catholic Church has done just exactly this. She's cast down many, and such persecution of literally even of the Jews. I hear that Golda Meir reminded Mr. Pope about this a few months ago when she went to see him, that she didn't pat him on his little old cap and tell him what a good boy he was. She laid it right in his face that the Catholics were the ones that persecuted the Jews worse than anybody. So she told it like it was. Well, they have cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. And so I say this concerning the Catholic Church, but I also want to emphasize that religious Christendom is right in the same boat, because she is referred to as the mother of harlots. And that mother simply implies that she has some daughters that are going right along with her. And I have heard of various statements along this line. One man a few years ago in one of these prominent religious organizations said, it's high time these Protestants got down off their high horse and went back to the mother church like they were supposed to be, and it was intended to be in the first place. So you see, she's getting her daughters together, and it's no wonder that you find such compromises on the part of the Catholic Church. Of course she has to make some concessions in order to get everyone together. All right, in the eighth chapter of this book, this is the personification of wisdom. Personification of wisdom, and it is Christ himself. Verse 1, does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She stands in the top of high places by the way, in the places of the paths. She cries at the gate, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. All of this, of course, a description of Christ. Continuing in verse 17, I love them that love me. And you find that this is true. The more that we respond to his love, of course, the more that he is able to show unto us. So I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And early is right now, before the day of judgment sets in. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and honor, that is, lasting riches, not temporal things, but eternal riches are with him. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness. Now, these next few verses, I believe that you can most especially see how that all of this refers unto Jesus, because he is the one that leads in the ways of righteousness, in the paths of judgment, that I may cause that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Notice he says that I may cause those that love me, not serve me, but those that love me to inherit substance, and I'll fill their treasure. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Here he is. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was, when there was no depths. I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth and the fields with the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there, when he set a compass upon the face of the earth. So this is Christ himself, you see, because he is indeed eternal, and he was there before anything else was established. Verse 31, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. And so the delight of Jesus was with the sons of men, that is, to come into the world and to die for us, and to redeem us unto God. Verse 35, whoso finds me finds life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, said Jesus, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. He that sinneth against me, that is, rejects me, wrongs his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Because, again, if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Well, we will take about 5 minutes to make chapter 9. And this is the work of wisdom in the last chapter that deals specifically with wisdom. We find verse 1, wisdom has builded her house, she has hewn out her 7 pillars. Now, this again, speaking of Christ, who is indeed building a house today. These 7 pillars seem to speak of the 7 apostles upon which the...